Sixth Narrative. Contributed by Sergeant Cuff. First of all, what happened to the diamond? The letter I received from Mr. Murthwaite yesterday leaves little doubt. Writing from India, the explorer informed me that a new temple of the moon god is being built in Benares. The work began shortly after the arrival of three priests in the city, and is being organized by them. At a ceremony to bless the site of the temple, the three men announced that the Eye of the Moon has returned. As for the dead man, later investigations revealed that Mr. Abelwhite's life had two sides. Side A, the public one, shows a gentleman of considerable reputation as a speaker at charitable meetings, a man of great administrative abilities, who managed various charitable societies. Side B, the hidden one, reveals a man of pleasure with a fine house in the suburbs, not bought in his name, and with a woman, not with his name either, living in luxury in that house, surrounded by pictures by great artists, jewels, the finest horses and carriages, all worth a small fortune. Somebody else's fortune. Which brings us to Mr. Godfrey Abelwhite's motive for stealing the moonstone. My investigations revealed that as a lawyer he had been trusted to take care of £20,000 belonging to a young gentleman, an orphan. The young man would inherit the whole sum on his 18th birthday in February 1850. Until then, Mr. Godfrey had to continue paying him £600 half-yearly on Midsummer's Day and on Christmas Day. The motive was simple. Exactly as Mr. Brough suspected, he needed money. A lot of money. Quickly. Mr. Abelwhite's father informed me that the day before Miss Verinder's birthday, 2 days before Midsummer's Day, his son asked him for a loan of £300. Mr. Abelwhite refused. Godfrey Abelwhite had to find £300 by the 24th of June and £20,000 by the following February. Otherwise, he was a ruined man. The following night, Dr. Candy played Mr. Franklin a little practical joke. He trusted the administration of the dose of opium to Abelwhite. The lawyer confessed to this in circumstances which I will come to later. You will remember Abelwhite, who had also suffered from Mr. Blake's tongue that evening, joined Betteridge in trying to persuade Mr. Blake to take a little whiskey before bed. Let us now direct our attention to Lucas House in London. Late on the evening of the 23rd of June, 1848, Lucas received a visit from Abelwhite. You can imagine his surprise when Abelwhite produced the moonstone. Lucas was extremely curious to know how the famous stone had come into the lawyer's possession. Abelwhite told a story which only sharpened Lucas's suspicion. Desperate, Abelwhite finally told the truth. His money troubles had kept him awake on the night of the birthday. He had heard Blake talking to himself in his bedroom and had looked in to see what was the matter. He saw Blake, candle in hand, coming towards the door. He followed Blake to Miss Verinder's sitting room, saw him take the diamond, and also saw Miss Verinder watching from her bedroom. Blake returned to his bedroom with the diamond, and the next morning had forgotten everything that happened. The next morning, Miss Verinder's behaviour showed that she had decided to remain silent, waiting to see what would happen that morning. Abelwhite gradually realised he could keep the diamond without any fear of being suspected. The moonstone stood between him and ruin. It didn't take him long to make up his mind. He went to London and made a deal with Lucas, and with the money, saved himself. When Mr. Ablewhite went abroad after inheriting £5,000 from the old lady, he went to Amsterdam. I have discovered from the Dutch police that he made arrangements for a diamond to be cut up into smaller stones at a later date. Strangely, it was that £5,000 that led Ablewhite to his death, because it enabled him to pay back Luca and recover the moonstone. I will only add one more detail to Mr. Blake's description of the circumstances of Ablewhite's death. The lock of the window in the roof was broken, no doubt by the mechanic, so enabling a trained athletic person to open it from the outside, descend noiselessly, and I will leave the rest to your imagination.